It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's been said an army travels on its stomach. Well, if it's good enough for the army, why not a savvy traveler? Last week, Elaine LaBalme, who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town, took us on a tour of the U.S. via dining destinations. As she always does, she left us hungry for more, and this week joins us with some more gastronomic getaways. Elaine LaBalme, good to have you back with us. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to be here, Paul.
When last we spoke, we were about to talk about a taqueria in San Francisco that you say ranks above all. And we must talk about this.
It's top of the list, so let's talk about it right now. We're talking about Taqueria Cancun in the Mission District in San Francisco, the Mexican neighborhood. There are so many taquerias in San Francisco, as you can imagine. But what this one does that definitely sets it apart is they have a burrito they call the burrito mojado, so the wet burrito. So again, you can get whatever filling you want. It can be the carne asada, al pastor, chicken, chorizo. You can get tongue. You can get, you know, brains. Yeah, you can get just about anything in your burrito. Then all the other fixings, rice, beans, whatnot. And then they drizzle over it this spicy house-made red sauce. And on top of that, a little bit of the house-made, very runny sort of crema, the light cream, so that your burrito is kind of swimming in these amazing sauces. And this isn't a burrito you're going to pick up and eat with your hands. This is a fork and knife kind of experience. But there is just no better burrito in San Francisco, and it's the size of your forearm, probably your forearm, not my forearm. So, you know, when you're in San Francisco, as a matter of fact, we'll be there in a few weeks. This will be one of my first places, and I'll probably go there 2-3 times while I'm in the city. You wash it down with an agua fresca, which is a house-made, basically fruit drink, just the fresh fruit essence with a little bit of water. Delicious, refreshing drink.
Sounds wonderful. Now, you have fallen in love with a lot of different places around the country. So before we get to your Fab Five list, is there anything else you want to mention that might not be on the Fab Five?
Well, you know, the only thing I would just say is so that people know, because we talked about it a little bit last week, and that is that some of these places, I should say, are absolutely legendary, have been around, you know, 50, 60, 70, 100 years. So they're tried and true classics. But it doesn't have to be a place that's been around forever for you to want to experience them and for it to be something truly special. It might be a place that's only been around 10 years, 15 years, but has already sort of achieved something of that sort of cult legendary status, because generally the folks who are behind the restaurant or the food shack, what have you, are just that dedicated and that passionate about what they're doing. Could just be one or two food items that they've got on the menu, could be a full menu. So don't expect that it has to be one of those like classic, necessarily roadside places that has been around for a century. It could be something relatively new that's equally special. That's what I would say.
Okay, Fab Five list. First, you believe the best roast chicken anywhere can be found in Philly?
And I know right away everybody's going to challenge me on this. No, my mother's roast chicken, or I went to Omaha, or here and there. Let me tell you, I'm throwing my weight behind Park Bistro in Philly. It's one of the Stephen Starr restaurants. It's a restaurateur in the city, probably has 15, 20 restaurants, but this one is on Rittenhouse Square. Very classic sort of Parisian brasserie, turn of the century, you know, Belle Epoque style. They have the raw bar and the charcuterie and whatnot, but what you want to get, and what I always get there, and I try to get an outside table right there on Rittenhouse Square, so lovely, the half roast chicken au jus with the mashed potatoes, or as they call them, the pommes puree. That it just, so you've got your half roast chicken just swimming in this puddle of its juices, and then the mashed potatoes dipping into those juices as well. It's tender, it's flavorful. I will never tire of that dish. So you go to Philly, you go to Park, you order the roast chicken.
What do you call the juices again?
Au jus.
Oh, God bless you.
Set myself right up for that one.
Yes, you did. This Fab Five list that we're going through now is part of your top 10 dining destinations.
Right.
So we've got four more to cover here,
yep,
including one in Cleveland, which has made the list with a very unique dining destination.
And again, this is one of those places that's a little bit newer, and we've talked about it. I'm sure, a couple, three times over the years, and that's Melt. The restaurateur Matt Fish, rocker turned foodie. He's been on, you know, the Food Network and all the big food shows and whatnot. He's actually got five locations now, including one in Columbus. You can get to Melt in either Columbus or Cleveland. But I never miss Melt on a visit to Cleveland. And as the name would suggest, what they do is grilled cheese sandwiches, gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches. They have 150 beers on the menu to wash down.
What's a gourmet grilled
cheese? Well, I'm glad you asked. All right, first of all, the first one my son, who's here with us today, Stephen, ever ordered was the Kindergarten. And that was your classic thick bread. They use really thick, crusty bread, lots of different kinds of cheeses, three, four cheeses, and it melted to perfection. Very buttery, crispy bread. Delicious. I remember when Steve-O was younger, he used to dip it into ketchup. We had called ketchup the red vegetable. However, for grown-ups, my two favorites, they do an amazing Monte Cristo sandwich. So again, you know, the classic grilled ham and cheese, but on steroids, and with a house-made berry dipping sauce. Tremendous. My favorite, though, it's called the Lake Erie Monster. Huge piece of walleye, various cheeses, a house-made sauce. Again, that thick bread, huge sandwiches, everything served with their house-made slaw, which is vinegary, not mayonnaise-y, my preference. Tremendous French fries. So you get this huge plate of food for a reasonable price. They've got probably 25 different variations on grilled cheese on the menu. They have a different special every month. They have a great website, meltbarandgrilled.com, that talks to you about the specials and the regular menu. It's just a must.
Speaking of great, do you have to be near a Great Lake to get walleye? Because there's not a lot of walleye in Pittsburgh, is
there? That's a good question. I know it's more common out that way. Yeah, perhaps, or maybe it's just easier
access. A
reason
to go to Cleveland.
There you go. And there are many.
Yes, there are. There are. I don't mean to disparage. speaking of Rust Belt cities, Detroit has Southern food that you say provides the comfort.
You know, and this is, I think, a surprise to a lot of visitors to Detroit, our friends to the north. There's a place called Slow's Barbecue. And, you know, anyone who listens to me here on radio knows that I'm a barbecue aficionado. This place is maybe a mile outside of downtown. It's been there a number of years, but not a really, really long time. And their ribs are all that. They have five different house-made sauces that you can pair them with. They've got the baby back ribs or the St. Louis style ribs. So you can choose either. The brisket and the pulled pork are also excellent. But this is a place in the region. If you're not going to Clem's out on 22, which is close by, which I love for ribs, and you're going a little farther afield and you find yourself in Detroit, do not miss Slow's for the barbecue.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're with our travel contributor, Elaine LaBaume, who's taking us on a tour of dining destinations. As you travel throughout the country, where do you go to eat? Elaine has more than enough ideas for us. And you say there's a spot in Savannah that you return to year after year.
We literally do return year after year. We generally make a trip to Florida early in the summer, and we detour to Savannah just so that we can get to Wiley's Championship Barbecue, where the barbecue is excellent, but the dish you want to order is the redneck nachos. We're talking pulled, I didn't name it, they did. Pulled pork, queso fresco, the Mexican crumbled white cheese, jalapenos on homemade chips, which, I mean, they could just make a fortune just selling the homemade chips. And then they top it with a fairly perky barbecue sauce that they make in-house. You can get a half or a full order of the redneck nachos. There is no reason to get a half order because you're going to fight with whoever you're with for those redneck nachos. You get the full order, huge heaping plate of these nachos. These are the definitive nachos, the end. But in this little barbecue joint, it is literally a maybe 10-table operation in a strip mall outside of downtown Savannah, mind you, probably 15, 20 minutes outside. We go well out of our way to get to this place, Paul, but it is worth it. You also got to have the collard greens while you're there. They are so, so good. Just the right amount of bacon in those collards.
I did not think collard greens would come up in this conversation, but,
well,
but they
go.
Have. All right, last but not least, Rehoboth Beach has a couple of boardwalk delights that are, you say, timeless.
Yes, now these are those kinds of places that have been around for you know, going on a century. The first one is Coors Custard, which actually opened in 1917 in York, PA. So they've got some PA roots, but their first stall was on Coney Island in 1919. And the thing about custard is that it's got less fat and sugar than ice cream. So it's lighter, but it's still delicious. And you go to Coors Custard on the boardwalk in Rehoboth, you order the chocolate. You could order vanilla and strawberry and lots of new flavors. Don't do it. Order the chocolate. It's perfect. Stick with the classic. Same thing can be said about Thrasher's Fries, which is maybe, 200 feet from Coors Custard. You can make a meal out of this. I would do this. This place opened in 1929 in Ocean City, Maryland. Still, their locations are just in Ocean City and Rehoboth Beach. All they sell is a basket of fries, a huge basket of fries, mind you, and no ketchup in the house, just malt vinegar. Their fries, malt vinegar, perfect.
Boy, that certain generations might have a hard time adjusting to that, but it sounds like
Go run five miles on the beach after you eat at Thrasher's and Coors, and you will live longer.
Sounds good. Sounds good. No, I was talking about the ketchup generation.
Oh, can't imagine fries without ketchup. There you go, and we're in Pittsburgh, no less. Sorry, Heinz. But take it up with Thrasher's. They're the ones who say that you got to put malt vinegar on your fries.
Elaine LaBaume is our travel contributor, and we've been going through her list of the top 10 can't-miss places to eat when you're on the road this summer, part deux. Elaine, thank you so much for joining us. As always, great thanks to you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.